The following podcast is a Dear Media production.
I'm Josh Peck.
And I'm Ben Soffer.
And we're the good guys. There's a lot of guys out there.
And we're the good ones.
Mazel, morons. Our fandom, Howie, we have the great comedian, brilliant entertainer, just timeless icon, Howie Mandel on the show. Our fandom is called The Morons.
The Morons. Yes. I love it. That's endearing.
Yeah. I think so.
It is. I mean, we're all morons.
And you know what? We should come up with a name for the people on, you did my podcast.
Yes.
The people on my podcast. And that works for you, the morons? They're happy with that?
They love it.
So why don't you just lean into it? Mine will be the fucking idiots.
Yes.
That's what I'm doing. And I hope all the fucking idiots are watching this and also subscribing to my podcast.
I think that's a great idea because, again, most of us have grown up with at least one parent who was incredibly damaging, and it elicits a lot of childhood feelings.
And that's what I'm all about, family.
Yes, you are.
I really am.
You really are. I mean, Ben and I were lucky enough to just be on your podcast and that you host with your lovely daughter and your son is producing it. I mean, it's a real family affair here.
It is. It is.
Is that intentional? Godfather style, or are they the only people you can trust?
No, they're the only people that are willing to hire me to do something like this. My son, Alex, who you know,
yes,
has a very successful digital company. He built the studio and he has a company and he works with a lot of influencers like you have, you know, but he works with the Logan Paul and all these other people. And he just said, come in and do a podcast. So which I started with doing with my daughter just during COVID, because it was the only way she would communicate with me. It wasn't a podcast. It was just us sitting on the phone, talking to other people, doing pranks and having fun. And then my wife said, what is this for? And I said, for nothing. And she said, record it. And then Alex said, I have equipment to record it. So why don't you come in and do it?
As a historically sort of famous germ-averse person, let's not title it. Right.
So you can OCD. I'm very open about my mental health. I wasn't. I come from a generation where, you know, mental health has a stigma attached to it. Mm. Mental illness or mental problems have a stigma. And I've learned really late in life that not only does it help me, first and foremost, to be open and talk about it and identify it and not shy away from it, but I've been told that other people are comforted in hearing other people talk about it.
And
you've done that too.
I certainly have tried. And so you talk about COVID. Was that, in a weird way, a dream scenario for someone with your ism, or was it the worst thing ever?
Worst thing ever. Because with however I lived, and I do, for lack of a better analogy, like the most fearful person in the midst of this world pandemic, how they felt is how I live each and every day. But if there was any comfort besides the therapy and the medication and whatever I'm on, everybody around me in regular life was saying, don't worry. It's, you know, nobody is sick here. You're not going to catch it, or we're not going to leave. Or you don't have to worry. This is all clean. When the whole world joins in your nightmare, there was no respite from the nightmare that I have going on in my own head. So it wasn't comforting.
Ah.
It wasn't, it was what people were trying to assure me throughout my whole life as just being something in my own head and something that I had to cope with turned into a reality. The monster that I was afraid of came to life.
Because me being so selfish and loving self-righteousness, I'd be like, it took me 60 plus years to prove to all you idiots that I was right. You're all running around with your germs, but I was right. We should all be separated.
I did sing my favorite song throughout the pandemic was, nah, 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 nah. I told right. you. So I had a little bit of that, but I didn't take comfort in living in a pandemic. You know, I didn't take comfort. It just, because the point is, whatever your coping skills to get through your day, and I don't think there's anybody alive that doesn't need a coping skill at some point, right, for whatever you're dealing with, it doesn't have to, I think everything is connected to mental health, everything, your productivity, your relationships, your work, your just your mood, you know, and becoming a parent. And there is, you have to figure out ways to make this work for you. Mm. So it just became harder. Whatever my coping skill was, mine is usually distraction, you know, staying really busy and or not thinking about it in the moment, doing something else, standing in front of an audience, trying to be funny, trying to be witty in the moment, trying to procure work, making some content or whatever. When the world shut down, it just gave me more time to worry. You know, we were all working less, not going places, not interacting, no distraction. So it was dark.
Will you tell the story, and you've told this before, of how Purell turned on you?
Well, listen, Purell is great. I was one of the early adopters of Purell. But the truth of the matter is that I over-sanitized so much that bacteria, what I've learned, we want to make this a science experiment.
Please.
You know, bacteria is, you know, we as living creatures are an ecosystem of good and bad bacteria. We fight each other, and that's what keeps us alive. When I killed all the bad bacteria on my hand by constantly soaking in sanitizers and alcohol and bleach, I had no immune system. I killed my, that's how you build an immune system, by being around germs. So when I touched a door, I would, like, within days break out in a wart. I would have a virus. I would have viruses all over me because I killed. You know, I was just listening to somebody on I don't know what I listened to, that this is part of the content, but I was listening to somebody on the radio talking about, like, people shouldn't use wet naps for ass wipes. Have you heard this?
That's crazy. I love me a dude wipe. I'm big wipes guy.
I do that all the time.
Well, they said that you can end up causing yourself an infection, because what you're doing is you're killing the bad bacteria. It's good to douche it out. Like, if you have one of those Toto toilets that, you know, spray it out and then wipe it, or wipe it with. But as soon as you introduce, like, alcohol or bleach or any of these other things that are bacteria killers in there, in that area, you throw off the balance of whatever that ecosystem is.
I want to clarify, because I said something. I certainly don't use Lysol wipes to wipe my ass.
Why do you feel that was necessary? Out of everything that you say, why is that something that you think maintains the public reputation?
I needed to clarify, because that's like spraying Windex on piece of toilet paper and wiping your ass. And that is completely nuts. Out of the question. No.
Wasn't that brought up as one of the possible cures for COVID, Windex? I think it was.
That all stemmed from my big fat Greek wedding, when the grandpa used to use Windex to get rid of the wart.
I just love that when you're going and shopping for toilet paper, you're doing it at Lowe's or Home Depot. That's where you're finding your toiletry essentials.
Well, that was another thing. When the pandemic hit, I don't know why it wasn't a stomach virus where everybody was just shitting themselves. Yet there was a run on, as soon as COVID, there was a run on toilet paper.
Right.
Why?
Because they want to be ready.
Were afraid to leave the house. They were afraid to run out of toilet paper. Who knows the next time they could leave the house.
But more than anything else, like more than any provisions, canned goods, water, like toilet paper was the first thought that anybody had. Like, I don't really understand that. You know,
it was big toilet paper. They put out the first mass hysteria.
Yes, it was
and
Charmin.
Everybody went running.
Maybe you're blaming Charmin. It on Charmin.
Listen, it's a podcast. You know, it's provocative.
It is.
Right?
So it's Charmin.
Yeah, maybe Braun. Maybe they only do paper towels.
You wipe your ass with Braun?
Sometimes. Listen, don't judge my love life.
That's your love life?
Don't judge the way I have a nice time with myself.
So you put a brawny man in your ass.
Some people like 2-ply. I like 10-ply.
Wow. Do you fold or scrunch?
Are we talking about just, my mom's going to hate
Josh,
this section.
There's only one right answer, fold. Please don't tell me you scrunch.
I am a predominantly wipes guy, and then I do a quick drying swipe. But I think if you don't use wipes, you're gross. Like, if you're only using dry paper back there, I mean, how are you really cleaning?
But you can afford to have, like, one of those Toto toilets.
Yes. In theory, I hear you. Your logic is sound.
In theory, you hear me? In headphones, you hear me.
In headphones, in all the auditory ways.
But what I'm saying is, but they're saying that you can cause a problem with wipes. You can.
All right.
That what is your wipes of choice? Are they a brand that
Dude wipes?
What?
They're called Dude Wipes.
Dude Wipes?
You never heard of them?
No.
Oh, it's gorgeous. Beautiful.
Are they a sponsor of your podcast?
No, they should be.
Dude Wipes?
Never heard of this?
No.
You've been around town. You're a man about town.
And it's just for dudes? It's not the ladies? Ladies can't use this?
I think it's a good name, but ladies are welcome.
To use Dude Wipes or to wipe your ass?
No, they are welcome to use Dude Wipes. It's just a fun, flushable wipe with a nice, sometimes mentholated little, you know, afterthought there. And it just makes you feel fresh and clean.
Now, was that an ad read or are we still talking?
No, we're still talking. Josh tends to do that, though. It's like a zin for your ass.
But I just never heard those words. It was very poetic. A fun, flushable wipe. You know what I look for in life? You know what I want more than anything? Well, for everyone.
What, Howie?
A fun, flushable wipe. Listen, with a nice scent.
I'm a child actor. All I know is how to talk. Is
like a commercial?
Talk. Yes. Want another one, boss? Faster, louder?
A fun, flushable wipe.
So sad. I love that your shirt matches the optical illusion behind you.
The shirt is an optical illusion.
You look like they waved you at the Daytona 500.
I look like a flag for the I do. This is, you know what this is, actually? And I'm not getting paid by them to tell you. This is Teddy Fresh. You listen to Ethan Klein is a friend of mine.
Yeah.
You know who he is? From H3?
H3, yeah.
Yeah. So this is his merch.
Cool.
Yeah.
I like it.
I like it too. That's why I wear it.
I like it too.
Can I have a good guy's merch shirt?
I'd love to. We have run and it's good, right, Ben?
Oh, yeah. And we have another one coming. We should send him the new stuff.
No, that we haven't give me disclosed. The old stuff that nobody's wearing anymore.
Vintage.
They're still wearing it. It was a limited drop. It was limited.
Does it say I'm a moron on it?
That's coming.
That's coming. The next one, which honestly, if there's ever a time, it's now. Our next drop is going to say, what are you nuts on it? Which is a segment that we have, Howie, that what the morons absolutely love. Yeah, what are you nuts?
We'll tell you now so you can prepare. You'll have plenty of time. But our What Are You Nuts segment of the week is gripes with people, places, and things. Anything that is currently grinding your gears, it can be big, it can be small.
Then you would say, what are you nuts?
Exactly right.
I get it now.
So
I get it.
We can come back to it, or if you're ready now, we can go into our
No, I didn't know what it was. Like you'd have a section where you just drop your pants, you look at your testicles, and you ask them, what are you nuts?
Right. No,
they don't answer.
That would work as well. That would work as well.
Wow. Caraway? I'm sorry. Are you an adult? Do you have operating pots and pans that are actually like they work and the handle's not broken? They don't have like 8 years of like spaghetti baked into them. They're like you're ashamed. You hide them when people come over. Someone's like, oh, I'd love to heat up. You're like, no, you can't use. I don't cook. So I don't have pots and pans. You have them. They're just gross. But the truth is with Caraway, you're going to have gorgeous, beautiful cookware it's going to change everything for you. I'm telling you, it will make cooking fun. Look, spring is coming and I love to cook and make like really yummy sort of, you know, there's so much good produce in the spring. The winter frost is over and having great cookware makes you want to cook. They've got so many collections to explore. So Caraway can really work with every kind of chef and they have fun twists on sort of classic just cookware, right? Like they've just updated it for the things that we need today. Plus, it's non-toxic kitchenware that's got a chemical-free ceramic coating so food can be prepared with peace of mind that no hard-to-pronounce chemicals are going to leach into your healthy ingredients. So visit carawayhome.com/goodguys to take advantage of this limited time offer for 10% off your next purchase. This deal is exclusive for our listeners. So visit carawayhome.com/goodguys or use code goodguys at checkout. Caraway, non-toxic cookware made modern.
Did you know that there is now that people are getting Botox in their sack to kind of lessen the wrinkles?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
I do it naturally. With Botox. I'm doing Kegel exercises.
Right now?
I am. And I do them constantly because summer is just around the corner. I know it's February or March, but it's what I'm trying to do is I do 3 sets a day. And by the summer, I assure you, I'm going to have a 6-sack.
I like that.
was fun.
Hey, Howie.
Yeah.
Hey. Recently, you had.
There's nobody else on your podcast. You don't have to point me out. Is this question for me?
Mr. Mindell, you recently had the great Dana White, the CEO of UFC, on your podcast. And it was a viral clip because you were saying all these laudatory, beautiful things about him. You gave him an incredible introduction. And he basically said, I'm so tired of doing podcasts, and walked out. Was that real?
I'm so tired of answering that fucking question. Yes. You know, how many?
Yes. I want to thank you guys for the shortest episode ever of the Good Guys Podcast with Mr. Howie Mandel. Listen to his podcast where we sat for an entire hour
and a half.
What I just did was real. I don't want to cause more wave than has already been caused. So I'm gonna plead the fifth on that. I respect everybody.
That seems rare for you to plead the fifth.
I just saw that in a movie once. I don't really even know what that means.
You're like, I'm Canadian. I don't know the American justice system.
And nobody ever pleads like the fourth or the third or...
Well, the or pleading the 14th.
What's pleading the third?
Pleading the Third Amendment. First is freedom of speech. Second is freedom to bear arms. I think third is housing military.
You can't have people in the military in your house?
You can't. People can't take over your home and turn it into a military installation. But I don't
because
know that's
Because my granddaughter's selling Girl Scout cookies, and her old troop, it was over at my house the other day, and I'm not allowed to, well, I plead the third.
Right. So, you know how much the Girl Scouts make a year in cookie sales?
Yes. Oh, you want an answer? I just thought you were asking if I knew. I lied.
A cool billion.
About 900 million in cookies.
Nuts. What a freaking scheme.
Are you kidding me?
Yeah.
They make a million in cookies?
Billion.
They make a billion.
A billion.
They make $1 billion a year in cookies. It's the biggest scheme of all time. Number
one.
Well,
then I'm going to become a Girl Scout. That's where the money is. What am I doing in this fucking thing? Why am I doing, when I could be selling cookies?
It's a really good business. And
the Girl Scouting?
Well, the selling the cookies. I mean, these are not high-end.
It's a really insane business. It's an insane business. They get these kids to work for free labor from 11-year-olds to feed their billion-dollar business. It's nuts.
Yeah.
I mean, you really, when you think about it, the Girl Scouts are in a business where they make $1 billion. Like, they sell cookies. They sell treats and cookies for $1 billion. And as a Boy Scout, I just sat in my house alone in my shorts and knee socks tying knots.
Right.
It's not a good business.
Well, you know what the Boy Scouts sell?
Knots.
Popcorn.
No, they don't.
Yeah, they have popcorn.
No, they don't.
It's not great.
I haven't. Have you ever had a guy knock
on
your door?
No, I've never had Boy Scout popcorn. No.
I've never heard of that. Where are you making that up? You're making that up. Anybody back there?
Anybody in the booth?
Have you ever bought popcorn from a Boy Scout? No, nobody did. You got fucked over.
Josh.
A little boy in a uniform.
Really?
Yeah, there's nobody. This is one guy.
I'm buying Costco popcorn from some kid named Billy with a sash.
Billy with a sash.
Sash.
Who's selling Josh popcorn? All right. I don't think it's happened. I don't think it's a troop thing. I don't think it's countrywide. I don't think it's a thing.
All right. It's so Boy Scout popcorn's fake news.
It's not even news. It's not. It's just wrong.
Have you kept in touch with Meghan Markle at all?
In touch. You mean by like text or email or phone calls or just being in person?
Are you guys friendly? Like, I think that's the...
When you say friendly, like, is it something where we exchange even through a third person, like pleasantries or things like that?
FaceTime, Zoom, edible arrangement.
No.
Okay.
No. You know what? To be honest, when she became the Duchess or whatever, I don't know what it is. Is she a Duchess?
Formally.
Yeah. To me, a Duchess was somebody you went on a date with that would split the bill with you.
Right. Let's go Dutch.
Oh, it's Dutch, not Duchess.
Right.
Let's go Duchess. I always said Duchess. I didn't know what it was. But anyway, the point that I'm making is when I heard that she was on Deal or No Deal, I didn't remember her.
Okay, so you guys didn't spend a lot of time together.
No, I have a picture of her in my office.
Oh.
Well, I have a picture. She's one of many of the girls standing behind me on Deal or No Deal. But I didn't remember a lot of them. You know, Chrissy Teigen was also a Deal or No Deal model.
No way.
Yes.
I did not know that.
I'm trying. Wow. Well, there you go. There's a breaking piece of news.
We should maybe do a reunion.
With just the odd numbers. Like not all 26.
Or just the prime numbers.
You know, there is a new Deal or No Deal.
There is?
Yeah. This airs, it's already aired.
So you're getting a little scratch from that, no?
Yeah. Nice. I'm the executive producer.
Fuck yeah, you are.
Yeah, but I'm not the host.
Well, you got two hosts right here, me and Ben. You didn't.
We're so in, and I just have to say, unbelievable.
Deal or
No Deal is the best.
Can we audition for you and just do the catchphrase and see what you think?
Go ahead.
Okay, Ben, you want to go first or me?
You go first. You go.
Deal or No Deal.
Okay, let me try. That was decent.
That was really good. Go ahead, Ben.
Deal or No Deal,
Gary.
One of you was much better than the other, and I don't want to...
No, I got it. I got it. Let me try again. Deal or No Deal?
Yeah.
Is that better?
Or No Deal. It's like the Cookie Monster's cousin with a cracked voice. And...
I could do Elmo as the host. I do Elmo for my son.
Go ahead.
La, 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 la. I have to find it first. I have to find a way in. Elmo's wrong. Okay. Deal or No Deal?
That's pretty good.
It's pretty good.
No? You know, I was the voice of did you ever watch Muppet Babies?
Sure.
I was Skeeter, Animal, and Bunsen Honeydew.
No way. Classic. Yes,
I wouldn't lie.
Did you ever meet Jim Henson?
Yeah. Yeah.
What was he like?
Amazing. Amazing.
Genius.
A genius. Have you ever gone to the Fallon show or before that Conan or Letterman at 30 Rock?
Sure.
And if you've gone around the corner in that hallway, when you wait in the dressing rooms from the original, I think it was like the Jack Parr show or the original Tonight Show, when Jim Henson was virtually an unknown puppeteer, there's a place there where he painted all those characters on a pipe while he was waiting to go on. And they have a plaque there and he did all the art. And it's, yeah, somebody should be able to pull that up and give you a picture of it. Does anybody have a picture of the pipe that is at 30 Rock? That Jim Henson did, but I got to meet him and I did the voices and that was fun. I was
Skeeter.
Skeeter's the same voice as,
so this is Skeeter,
which is the same voice I used
for Bobby,
which is the same voice I used for Gizmo in Gremlins. I'm Gizmo from Gremlins.
You're almost throwing your voice.
Yeah, but it's not my voice. You know, I always tell people like, I'm not talking falsetto. You know, that's not my voice. So what I'm doing is it's the same thing when you blow up a balloon. Mm. You blow up a balloon and then you take the nipple and you squeeze it and the air goes. So I just close my throat and I'm pushing air out and that's just a vibration. And if I loosen it, that was Bunsen Honeydew. If I loosen it, then if you don't listen to me, I'll make your sister disappear. And then if I loosen it even more, it was Animal. Go, bye bye.
That's very impressive.
Thank you. Wow. Thank you. I'll
be
here.
Can you believe that, Ben?
I'll be here all episode.
No, I can't. Josh, is now the time where I do Mickey Mouse for the third time in four episodes?
I think we'd be remiss if you didn't.
You know what? I was going to say he needs to do it louder because I couldn't hear him.
Fair. Miska, Muska, Mickey Mouse. Come on.
Well, under 4 out of 10.
No, let me just say something. The more than the actual voice. What I found impressive was the amount of time of preparation between asking whether you should do it and getting it. I don't know what are you changing? What are you adjusting that gets you? Like you go, can I do Mickey Mouse? And then you go,
right. Mishka.
I don't know what you're doing. To me, that's like.
That was good too.
Yeah. To me, it was like in the old days, and that's where I'm from. Impressionists used to say, and this is, this is an impression of so-and-so, and it goes something like this, and then they used to turn around.
Right.
And then turn back. Like, what is that prep? What are you doing?
Well, Jim Carrey used to do that, but then he would, like, tousle his hair, and he'd put on Nicholson's face.
But right? He did something right. Most people didn't.
Fair.
You know what I mean? Like, if you're turning around to do something so it's a reveal, it's yes. Okay. But if you go, I'm going to do Mickey Mouse. He even moved away from the mic. Even like he didn't want to, what he has to prepare, he has to do it off mic. So you at home don't get a sense of this is how it's done and steal the thunder. You don't want anybody to know. You're like a magician.
I don't want anybody knowing how I did Mickey.
It's like a magician.
Josh, this is where I retired Mickey.
Yeah. This is, I'm going to do Mickey Mouse. I'm going to do Mickey Mouse.
Mishka.
Cerebral is here to help you achieve your mental wellness goals with professional therapy and medication management support. 100% online. You'll experience the all new Cerebral Way, an innovative approach to mental wellness designed around you. You'll get a personalized treatment plan from a therapist, prescriber, or both in a safe and judgment-free space. Secret time, I need both. I like a little prescriber. I like a therapist. And in all honesty, in 2024, like, I don't know, I'm working on being the best version of myself. You know what I mean? And if you're looking to improve your mental health journey, I'm just a big advocate for talking to someone. You know, I've done it throughout my life. And now knowing that with my busy schedule and with kids that I can just go on Zoom and I can do it online instead of having to worry about a commute to an office and whatnot. It's so great to know that wherever I am, I'm able to check in. And whether you want to cope with stress, relieve anxiety, manage depression, Cerebral will help you to find a clinician who can work with you and is the right person. And maybe you click right away, maybe not, but they have such a great network of people and all the clinicians are vetted, credentialed, and you don't have to worry about finding the right provider or scheduling appointments because Cerebral brings it all to you whenever and wherever you need it. So to get started on your path towards better mental health, Cerebral is giving our listeners 15% off their first month of online therapy, medication, or both. Get started at Cerebral.com/podcast and use code GOODGUYS. That's Cerebral, Cerebral.com/podcast and use code GOODGUYS to get 15% off your first month. Make 2024 your best year yet. Offer only valid on monthly plans. Other exclusions may apply. See site for details.
I appreciate that you liked my Elmo because my wife, and God bless her, my wife's Irish Catholic. I'm obviously a hot-blooded Jew. I always say her love language is silence. And she says, it sucks. Your impression of Elmo sucks. And I go,
really?
Look at the joy on my kid's face. She goes, not good. Not good. Maybe she's
critical of you.
She
is. Do you think, is that what makes it work? Is that because you spend your life trying to please her or getting her approval? Is that the chemistry in your relationship?
Part of it, certainly.
Please like what I'm doing. Like me. No, I do that. My wife is not a fan of me.
Say more.
My wife is not a fan of me. I don't know how much to say. She'll go, I try things and she'll go, the most common phrase you can hear in the course of a day of her speaking to me, the question that she asks more frequently, is that supposed to be a joke? Supposed to be funny? Do you think that's funny?
Right.
So I need to go, and I do constantly drop in on clubs around town for some adulation because it doesn't come from home.
Do you do that? Will you drop in at a stand-up club? Do you
always,
still do that?
Always. Really? The other night, you know, last week when we had those pouring rain, like it was coming down and they were saying stay off the roads and everything. I drove to Pasadena and went on at the Ice House. There was 11 people in one of the rooms, 11 people. I videotaped it. I loved it. I just want to show up and be there. And stand-up comedy is my comfort zone. I love that. And I drop in a lot of the clubs, even when I'm not, I still do stand-up. And people always say to me, because they know me more from America's Got Talent or Deal or No Deal or wherever they know me from, but they go, I used to love when you did stand-up. I never stopped, but now I don't do it. You know, I'm not doing specials and I just love showing up. And I love showing up in a little, the Ice House. The Ice House has got a really good lineup. So like it was me on the night I was there. It was a Sebastian
Maniscalco. Yeah.
Maniscalco. And
how are you?
Well, that's pretty good.
Good to see you. Coming to the stage. Howie Mandel. So funny.
It got a little more Jewish than the
So funny. Do you feel like you could get up anywhere? And what's your runway if you had no material? Could you do?
That's my runway. I have no material. I don't want to get up with anything that I know is going to work. I like no material and trying to mine for it. It's like looking for gold. I try to find those moments that I like to listen. I know, obviously, after 45 years in the business, I know I have material that I can go to. That I could summon, and I have an act, and I've done like 10 cable specials, and I have stuff. That's not why I drop in at a club. I love to find a moment that I didn't have going out. And then I take notes, and that could become part of my repertoire or not, or something in the car that I'm thinking on the way there, I try and it's crickets. Mm. I love that. The harder it is, the more I have to dig for it, the better it is, the more fun it is, the more challenging it is. I get why when people go to concerts, sometimes they get mad because the performer doesn't want to play their hit or their hits. And they'll do it, and maybe they'll do it as an encore, but I think they get more joy of finding the nuance in something new, in finding the, you know, every time they do it, maybe a little something different or whatever. And, you know, comedy is music. It's just a cappella kind of, you know, there's a rhythm. How do you find that? And how do you make somebody that you don't know, you have no idea who they are, where they came from, what their predicament is, and how can I elicit laughter? And even people who come on America's Got Talent, I always tell them that, you know, don't worry about, you know, us four that are sitting there. Don't even worry about the room. Just do what you think is funny. And you may be able to capture an audience that isn't even in front of you. There's always a lot more people, and sometimes it's my own wife, that don't find you funny and are not reacting to what you're doing, then do react. You're just lucky as a comedian. You did stand up when you were a kid.
Yeah.
I know that. So, but you're lucky that whatever your sensibility is somewhat relatable to that room. But even when you play a big concert and thousands of people show up, there's probably 2 million in that town that didn't buy a ticket, doesn't give a shit about who you are, and doesn't laugh at your material or doesn't have that same sensibility. Right. So you can't please everybody. You got to please yourself. So
do you think David Mamet has this great quote of the easily shamed will never learn? And I say this as a compliment to you. Like, you don't seem easily shamed. And
no, I am easily shamed, but I kind of wallow in that shame. I like the more awkward, the more uncomfortable, the more shameful I feel. I've become, and maybe it's because of my mental health issues, I have become very comfortable with discomfort. Mm. And I find discomfort relatable. It depends what you do with that shame.
Right. It's why I love Indian food. It's the discomfort.
I'm uncomfortable.
That's great. But my point is that it's a good point. But I do like that. I don't want David Mamet that you said mm-hmm. that? But he is right. But if you feel shame and because of your shame, you stop, then you just don't move ahead and you don't do it and you don't experiment. But if you're willing to feel the shame, the fear, the discomfort, you will move ahead. Columbus got in a boat and was willing to maybe sail off the edge of the earth. It was well known that the earth is flat.
Right.
And he got in that boat. And that's why we're sitting here today on your podcast in this part of the globe.
Right. But let's be honest, and this is a quick callback to the Indian food. He thought he was in India, right? So how smart was he? Not so smart. Couldn't have been further.
Now I feel like a moron, which is my way of saying a big fan of how you're dealing with me.
So kind. We talked about it on your podcast, but I feel like we must ask, you got this crazy viral moment for having Tom Sandoval at the height of Scandoval on this, the exclusive interview, and you took a little heat for it. And I'd love to hear a little bit of how that came to be and what your thoughts were after.
Well, it came to be because I'm looking out the window here. For those that don't know, you're in my studio and he's in Florida.
Yes.
And this lovely lady is Kimmy is right there. I don't know if you can get there. She's waving you in that shot. That's Kimmy.
Hey, Kimmy.
Yeah, her husband is Jason Bader. Mm. Jason is Tom's drummer and road manager. So I had an in. And I said to Kimmy or through Jason, you know, if he wants to come in, this thing is blowing up all over the news. If he wants to come in and tell his side of the story, come on in and I won't attack him. I won't question him. I got attacked and questioned for not attacking and questioning, but that's how it came to be. And that's what.
And how did you feel about that?
It actually at the beginning shocked me but not totally because I've been in this business for a long time. And so have you. And you realize that context is everything. And, you know, we talk to the press. When you talk to a press outlet, you go, that's not what I said, or that's not what I meant, or that's not, it's how people take it. You can't, it's like life is like broken telephone. You say something and then everybody hears a piece of it and it's taken out of context. And my one question to Tom was, why is this such a big deal? You cheated on your, I would kill somebody who did that to me, you know?
Sure.
But, and I don't condone it. And I've been married for 43 years. I'm really about conservative in relationships. I'm not open to this. So I didn't say that part of it. But I just said, why is this such a big deal? Why is somebody from a cable show who cheated on his girlfriend, why does it have a title, Scandoval? Why is it in mainstream news outside of those people? Why is it such a big deal? When you take the context that I'm going, it's no big deal. That's how it was taken. It was taken, number one, as me condoning what he did, taking a side, not pushing back at all. And also I said, I really don't know anything about the show or the characters or what's going on. I don't. I'm just asking, why do you think you as a guy I'm meeting who happened to be unfaithful in a relationship, why do you think this is the biggest news in the world? Even the fact that here we are a year later and I'm talking about it on your podcast. Like, why? And the connotation is, I think it's no big deal.
Right.
And which is not something that the Bravo audience wants to hear. And they are this real strong, outspoken audience that I've been in this for 45 years. I've been involved and engaged in social media from the time I heard of social media, you know, and I've never been attacked so harshly as I was. You know, I take it with a grain of salt, but I'm also amazed by the fact that people take this time and this energy to be so hateful.
Boy, my kids love KiwiCo. I cannot tell you how great it is when a KiwiCo arrives in the mail. They go nuts. They love it. And I love it because KiwiCo delivers seriously fun learning for kids of all ages through hands-on projects and activities. Recently, my son got to build like this entire costume out of felt and all these cool materials. And it took long, but not too long. So it kept him busy, but he was able to do it. He didn't need like an insane amount of help from me. And he just thought it was the coolest thing. And with 9 monthly programs to choose from, KiwiCo has something for kids of all ages, ranging from infants and preschoolers to teens and beyond. Each crate is designed by real experts and tested by kids to ensure that every experience is age-appropriate, engaging, and seriously fun. But you're going to discover real science, technology, engineering, art, and math concepts through fun hands-on projects, because that's what we all want as a parent. We want to make our kids have fun, want to spoil them a little, but we also want them to like not be idiots. And that's where KiwiCo comes in. So you'll cultivate your kids' natural curiosity. It's good for kids of all ages. And really, you'll spend quality time tackling projects together. So redefine learning with play. Explore projects that build confidence and problem-solving skills with KiwiCo. Get 50% off your first month on any crate line at KiwiCo.com with promo code GOODGUYS. That's 50% off your first month at KiwiCo.com. Promo code GOODGUYS.
Do you think that, and Ben, tell me what you think, because you weren't so familiar with it, that in inviting him to tell his story, you weren't able to see the parts where people felt like he was just not being truthful, right? So it's in essence,
but I didn't
like
care. I didn't, you know,
you wanted
point,
to let him, if he was going to lie, let him lie and let the audience decide.
I didn't say, come on my show and you better tell the truth. I said, come on my show. And, you know, I saw in every article, first of all, the fact that it was given a title, the fact that it's not Tom Sandoval cheated, it's Scandoval. It was an entity unto itself. I said, come on, and you could say whatever you want. We haven't heard from you.
Right.
We've heard from everybody else shitting on you. We've heard from everybody, whatever anybody thinks of it. We haven't heard from you. So why don't you come on? You could say whatever you want. I don't care. And I can't, you know, and I'm going to be honest with you, and I was honest right up the front. I don't watch the show. I don't know who some of these people that you speak of are. I'm not going to go, like he goes, I couldn't go home and I have no ammunition to go, well, what do you mean you couldn't go home? You could go home. I know that so-and-so, I have no information. Just say that. And then I thought that the people, part of the joy and the entertainment value is those people that do know or do think that he's not being forthcoming.
Sure.
That's on you and him. That's
they
not
on,
but they, well, I don't know how I got dragged into that whirlpool of,
wow.
You know,
I think
I think that people were more upset that Tom almost got away with having that. This was his moment. You said it yourself that he hadn't come out and been outspoken, that more he got away with this being the version of him coming out and making a public statement, at least from what I saw. That
But here's the thing. Here's the thing. You're saying got away. But it's not even, he didn't get away with it. He got to say what he got to say. When you look at when somebody is indicted in court outside of this little scandal, what you do is, do you know what a deposition is? You know, they let anybody from whatever side, the defense or the prosecutor, they'll ask you the questions without any challenge. You can answer the questions. However you feel you want to answer the questions. Then those answers can be used in a court of law against you. If you're lying and they could prove, you said this, but here, you said on Thursday night, you were in Vegas, but here is a piece of, and then they don't say, no, you weren't. They don't bring that up at that point. But when they go to court, or these are the people that are viewing it, they say, but there's a video of you in 7-Eleven in LA. You're saying you were there that night. How do you prove that? And that's the court of law. I didn't invite him to be on court.
What about the court of relationships? Does that show exist? Okay, hear me out, right? Big pitch.
I think that Chrissy Teigen tried to launch this with Quibi. Do you remember that?
Quibi, who? No one remembers. Hear
I
me
do,
out.
That
8-minute show. Do you have a deal with Quibi? No.
Does Quibi have a Quibi?
Who didn't have a deal with Quibi, first of
all? I did.
Yeah.
I had a show on Quibi.
And how many people passed on the idea you sold to Quibi? Quibi was the landing spot for anything that's
No, I had a great show there, which I'd still like to do.
Well, I think this could be, you have like relationship court. You have Howie, you be the judge. Maybe you get Steve Harvey. He's got nothing to do. And like, you know, you have people state their case and then you make a decision. And I don't know, give them a trip to Orlando.
And having no point of reference or whether you think it's not true or not, I didn't have the... And I admitted it, and I don't think it's wrong. I'm glad that I didn't do research. I really am. I'm defending myself. Because if I had research, just knowing who I am, I've got a big mouth. You know, he would have walked out. Because if I had some research, a little bit of research, and he said something, it would be hard for me to bite my tongue and go, but that's not.
Sure.
I don't want to do that.
Right. You wanted him to just sort of let it out and let the court of public opinion decide.
Or the people that know, or the people that have a different opinion.
Right.
And you know what? It did well. You know, episode is probably my biggest episode. Yeah.
It crushed.
So it was good for me. It was good for me. I feel bad that people get hurt. You know, ultimately, good people, bad people, people do good things, they do bad things. They're all human, you know? And I don't wish any negativity or heartache on anybody.
Then should we get into a speak pipe?
We should.
We get these things called speak pipes, which are our wonderful morons.
What are you, nuts?
That's coming.
Oh, we'll do this two. Is not it. This is a speak pipe. I always get the pipe and the nuts mixed up. But I got to remember the nuts are under the pipe.
They're in cahoots. They're in cahoots.
Cahoots. There's another the word. Cahoots with my pipe and nuts now.
They're complimentary.
The nuts and pipe.
Okay.
So this is advice. This is questions from our audience, and they're looking for us to kind of help them out.
They're morons.
We'll do a quick one. Exactly right. Let's hear from Kat. Why not? Let's be brave.
Hi guys. My name is Kat. I'm 27. I'm a big fat moron. Hopefully not fat much longer. I am on Ozempic. Anyways, my question is, I am thinking of converting to Judaism. It's something I've thought about for the last few years, but my fiance isn't totally on board. He's not against me doing it, just has no interest in converting himself. He's not super religious. My family thinks I'm a little nuts, but we're getting married in just a few months and we are planning to have children. So I would like to raise them Jewish. I don't know. I mean, do you guys think that I'm crazy? What are your thoughts? Do you think my fiance?
Well, her fiance is not Jewish. What she's leaving out is her fiance is one of the members of Hamas. And so you could see why he is not pro her raising their children as Jews.
But yes, he's we must all get along.
I didn't hear that at all. I think he is Jewish.
No, he isn't.
I think that she should absolutely convert to Judaism with eyes wide open, knowing that it is really freaking hard. It's harder to convert. Most converted Jews are far more religious than born into Jews. You have to go through a very, very rigorous process. It's not like in the other religions where you want to be it. We say, okay, perfect, you're in. It's a rigorous process. But if you're down, we would love to have you. We are small and mighty, and we could add another one in. We'd love another big fat moron.
Oh, we'll go to the next speak pipe. This is our last speak pipe of the day. This is Adam.
It's Adam, a Mormon moron over here in southern Utah.
What is
you in the religious? And I have a question for both of you. So in May, my girlfriend's lease is up in her apartment, and we both want to have her kind of just move in with me at my house. But as you may know,
we know
Mormons do not canoodle before marriage. And my parents, who are the absolute best, as well as my family, might have a heart attack if they knew me and my girlfriend were already canoodling, but it might send it over the edge if they knew we were moving in together.
Right.
So my question for you is, do we still move in together and have, like, give my parents a heart attack? Do we move in together and not tell them? Do we?
Wow. You guys discuss. I'm going to go pee really quick. We're not cutting this out. Discuss. I'm sorry.
Okay. I will. You go pee. Here's my thought on it. First of all, if it's something that is, I don't know what the religious theme is in your podcast that all your colleagues.
We're just so Jewish and we're so proud. And all we do is talk about Judaism. That's probably why that other woman wanted to convert, because she just hears us speak so proudly as Jews. And yeah, I don't know.
It seems like most of your callers, most of the people in the pipeline, as you call it, are not Jews. They're Mormons and
yes,
people who want
yes,
to.
Yes, yeah. yes, yes.
Okay.
Yes, yes.
So, but the point is that if this is like really like a really predicament that this guy's in, number one, you don't call into a podcast as a Mormon telling the people that you have a girlfriend who has a lease up in May, because your parents could find out, because Mormons do listen to podcasts. And there's a good chance that you have let the cat out of the bag, as it were, just by making this phone call. His question is, I love that he calls it canoodling. Canoodling is not a great word for what he's doing. But I think that as long as he keeps the canoodling to just anal, then he's safe. I'm not familiar with the rules of Mormons, but I would imagine if you stay away from the front canoodler,
yes, mm-hmm.
then you're still she's considered fresh. Also, I do know that the Mormons have a special underwear that is really hard to get through, right?
Yes, made of wood.
Yeah, so he has that. So he has that kind of protection. Yes. So the answer is, here's what I would do. And this is just my opinion, and I don't know if she's for it. I would convince your Mormon girlfriend to convert to Judaism.
Yes.
Do you
what
think
would
that-
give the what would give his parents more of a heart attack if his girlfriend converted to Judaism, or if they moved in together?
Well, the point is, if she converted to Judaism, at least she can point to the first caller in the pipe and say, it's not just me.
Yes, both of them.
It is both of them, because it is, religion is very tribal, and that's not something you want to do on your own. And I don't really understand why they're calling you with these problems.
We're a safe space. We have a lot to offer. I don't know anything that was just discussed.
But Howie brought up a very interesting point, Josh. Mormons do listen to podcasts. So technically, he may have just outed himself on this podcast.
He said, I'm a Mormon. I have a girlfriend whose lease is up in May. I would imagine, and he's very close to his parents. How many Mormon families have a son who has a girlfriend with a lease up in May who happens to be Mormon, who doesn't have a friend that's another fellow Mormon from their church that doesn't say, hey, you know, this is very similar. Don't you have a girlfriend who has a lease up in May? Have you been canoodling?
You think that Mark and Judy Mormon up in, I assume, Park City, Utah, wherever they live,
It's not the only place Mormons live.
There's a high concentration. Okay. Yep. It's the Great Neck of Mormons, right?
Mm-hmm. Okay.
You think that they, with their wonderful carpentry business, they probably go out to eat twice a week somewhere nice.
I think you're confusing them with the, what are the ones that wear the hat? The Amish.
Amish.
No, no. The Mormons are into carpentry.
No.
They love carpentry.
Amish.
Amish do carpentry out of necessity. They don't call it carpentry. They call it, I'm going to need a new toolbox. You know, get to it, Jedediah.
Mormons don't
the
do
Amish
carpentry.
Love butter.
The Mormons sing.
Do they sing?
The Osmonds, hello.
Right. Yes, so they sing, right? You think they're listening to the good guys? You know, two yes. Jews and a Howie Mandel? Just, you know.
Isn't that a third Jew? I'm not in the...
Let me be
in the pipeline. Please. Do you not think I should remain a Jew?
Do I think you should remain a Jew, yeah. Howie Mandel?
Yeah.
You're going to renounce your Judaism here on the good guys?
No, I'm at. People seem to be asking who God is. That when you want to know who your God should be, who do you call? The good guys.
That's right.
I didn't realize that.
And we're like Joel Osteen. Josh, should we do a What Are You Nuts?
We should.
Do Why? Because this whole pipe dream thing you're doing is not working out?
We piped. We piped. We're done.
What was your advice to him?
Advice to him is to
convert to Judaism because we're cool with it. The Jews don't mind a little premarital canoodling.
No, I told him to do anal. They stay away that from the main canoodler.
Right.
So you can canoodle in the back.
That was the advice. Yes. Definitely don't move in with your girlfriend and not tell your parents. It'll blow up in your face. I don't like it. I think just move in. Mild heart attack. They'll get over it.
Love that. All right, let's get into our What Are You Nuts moment of the week, as we've already described. Ben, what do you got?
So I was on a JetBlue flight here.
Dropper. Look at him.
And JetBlue, you guys probably wouldn't fly these flights. It didn't have Mint. There's no first class. There's no nothing. It's just one of those planes where it's just all economy, back to front.
Yeah, you have a jet, Howie?
Do I have a jet?
Yeah.
No.
But you only fly PJ.
I do.
Yeah, you do.
That's why I'm here.
For you.
Thank you.
You deserve it.
So then this problem is not a problem that you have. Maybe it's a problem that you had at one point. You're on a flight. Mm-hmm. It's not a red eye. Mm-hmm. It's a short flight. Mm-hmm. All of a sudden, you're working. Maybe you're on your computer. You're on your phone. Guy in front of you reclines a seat all the way back. I think reclining your seat on a less than 5-hour flight when you're in coach should be punishable by law. And all I have to say is, what are you nuts?
Okay, it's against the recline. How much money would it take for you, Howie, to take a middle seat from LA to Orlando on Spirit Airlines? How much money?
There isn't money. It's not money. It's like to save a life. It's beyond money. I won't do it. I had a horrible experience. The last time I was on a commercial flight, the guy next to me took his shoes off and there was an odor. There was a smell and I didn't know how to deal with the smell. And I went and talked to the flight attendant and I said, is there any way that you can ask this gentleman to put his shoes back on? You know, like it's a crime what's happening. And she did that for me and the smell didn't go away. And lo and behold, this guy, his ankle stunk. I don't know what stunk, but it wasn't his feet.
That hurts. So
here's, smells is why I don't want to be on.
100 million, middle seat Spirit right now. They'll wire it in.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm not that crazy. Yes, I'll wear a mask. I'll do whatever. I just...
10 million.
Oh, you're going... We still be... I said yes already to 100.
Why, I know, well, but now we got to triangulate.
No, but if I... You don't know how this is... You'll never be a game show host.
I started too high.
Well, it's just for 100 million, will you do it? Yes.
Deal or no deal? And I wouldn't.
But why would I take 10 million when I was just given 100 million?
Well, let's say that I had started with 10.
Well, yes is the answer. But if you would have said, I'll give you $5,000, I would say no. If you said $10,000, I would say no.
All right.
11.5. 11.5 is the number.
Have you ever messed up? My fear in hosting a game show would be somehow I would make a mistake that would influence the person who was competing for the money. Has anything like that ever happened?
Yeah. Well, on Deal or No Deal, I was so afraid. My whole persona was kind of calculated in the sense that when I decided to do the show, I wanted to be really entertaining and funny. And I didn't really want to be a game show host. It was the antithesis of, you know, comedy. And then what happened is when I was on the set with somebody who, as was described to me, their life would be incredibly changed. Even if they had $10,000, they had three children. It was a single mother. They had no money in the bank. They didn't live in LA, or you know, live in the middle of the country. They had no health insurance. With $10,000, that was probably her rent for a year. You know, it was probably enough to buy health insurance for her family.
Jeez.
So I'm sure, have you been on the set of a television show with somebody who isn't in television? And there seems to be a you know, I don't know how to describe it, but there's a glaze that goes over somebody. You go, they're not really here. This is so.
And the lights.
The lights, the cameras, pressure. The audience, the pressure. They're just so, it's a lot to take in to be comfortable. And I realized that, you know, if I started performing and being, you know, if it became about me and how I was doing, I would be a distraction. This was enough distraction. I didn't have to add one more that I noticed, like the first time there was an offer for $10,000 without even thinking, no deal. And then I got scared that what I was doing would not help her make the best decision possible. Mm. So that's why I started, you know, people make fun of it and you were doing it. That's why I started talking slower and more deliberately, like you probably talk to your kids. And I started saying, you know, the offer is $20,000. $20,000. Double the amount of money you made this year at your job, you know? Enough to pay 2 years rent. Enough to maybe put a down payment on a home.
Wow.
Deal or no deal?
No deal.
it's very funny. But the truth was, and then I would get in trouble because they would go, well, you know, you sound like you're selling her on that. And what happens if you sell her on that and she says deal? Mm. Because in my mind, it was always, the guarantee was what I said. The guarantee is $20,000. The chance at one of your cases or your case having a million, what are the chances? There's no chance that you can walk out of here with $20,000. I'm not a gambler. So the fear was that maybe I delivered it in a way that made you go, you know, right? This is 2 years my rent. This is like, okay, deal.
Right.
And then we say, let's open up your case. And you have the $1 million. You could have stayed in the game and, you know, gotten an offer for $200,000, $300,000. So I had to kind of be void of trying to influence, you know? And it's really hard to be human and to look at another human. I do have, even though, you know, my bread and butter is comedy, I have a lot of empathy, you know, and it's really hard for me to sit in a room or across from a human being and not want them to do great, but not want them to be guaranteed to do great. So it's sometimes backfired.
All right. My What Are You Nuts moment, and then we will hear Howie's and take this one home. And this is hacky. It's the Trader Joe's parking lots. Trader Joe's, just an incredible establishment. Their private label items are second to none. I talk in commercials.
You but too.
You'll never find
this
anything.
This is even better than your fun wipes.
From their Latin offerings, also, AKA Trader Jose. But you know what? It's a joke. The parking lots at Trader Joe's are so just insurmountable. People get so intense in those parking lots. It's not worth it. I think the CEO of Trader Joe's goes to a new city and goes, find me all the worst parking lots in the city. We're opening up some new stores. What are you, nuts?
Nuts.
Mr. Mandel, take us home.
It's the peppermint cakes and urinals.
Ah.
I don't like that. I don't like the peppermint, like for the most part, and I'm not a plumber, you pee into a urinal. And then when you flush or it automatically flushes, the water washes all of that away and then it's gone. When you have an absorbent cake with a minty odor on it and you pee onto that with, I believe that, you know, this is the toilet's Altoid. I don't know what it's supposed to be, you sure. know, a fresh breath, minty. But what it does, it absorbs some of your urine. So now you get a minty pea odor. It's almost worse. I think let it be gone. let it be gone. I don't want to, and along with that, if I can have two things. Please. About what do you, it's the ice. What does the ice do?
And we know, we've talked about it. I found out.
Found out.
Ready for this?
Give me a sec.
It is to encourage men, because men are such slobs and monsters. It gives them a game for their dumb little brain to keep their pee-pee in the urinal. So they go, I'm going to melt the ice. And in doing so, they're keeping it in the urinal as opposed to on the sides, on the floor. You tend to see it at bars and places where people are slightly
That's
inebriated.
Not true. I'm from Canada. If that was true, why aren't the, in the middle of the winter in February, the edges of lakes filled with people pissing all over the lake?
Trump 2024, you know?
You know, it's just Canada for you.
Howie, thank you for being on the show, man.
Thanks for having me.
Thank you for having us on your podcast.
Howie Mandel does stuff. We drop one every Thursday, and then we have a live one. We drop every Thursday at 10 a.m. Pacific Standard Time. Every Tuesday. Can I start again?
Please.
Thanks for having me on your podcast. What are we going to do?
Howie, thank you so much for coming on the podcast.
Oh, I thought we could just start the whole episode again.
The whole new thing? I'd love to.
You want to just do the end again?
I mean,
Tuesdays. Howie Mandel does stuff. Tuesdays. It drops at 10 a.m. Pacific Standard Time. I don't know when it's on. Tuesdays at 10 a.m. Pacific Standard Time, we drop new episodes. It's me and my daughter and great guests. You are great on the show.
Thank you for having us.
Oh, it's
fantastic.
Thanks for having
the good guys.
And you're the good guys, and we just do stuff. And subscribe, and I want people to subscribe, and I want people to... And then watch Deal or No Deal Island, which is on now.
Love that.
Yeah. And Canada's Got Talent, which is on right now. What's coming up?
Wow. Printing money. So good.
I am so...
Josh, we have to go to Deal or No Deal Island. That's where we're going next.
I've been inspired by the wallpaper, and maybe we're going to redo our studio for Howie Mandel Does Stuff. I think Flamingos is the way to go.
It's like nice. That. But yes, Howie, thank you so much for coming. As always, listen to The Good Guys Mondays and Thursdays. Give this episode 5 stars. If it's not 5 stars, what are you, nuts? You can find us on Spotify, Apple. Watch us on YouTube, on Josh's YouTube channel. Share our clips. We got some amazing ones clearly from this episode with Howie Mandel. Listen to us on Howie's podcast. And thanks for listening.
We're so much slicker than mine.
Please note that this episode may contain paid endorsements and advertisements for products and services. Individuals on the show may have a direct or indirect financial interest in products or services referred to in this episode.